inside that little body of flesh. Now, don't ask me how that took place. I told you, I wouldn't even waste 5 seconds trying to argue with anyone about the mystery of the incarnation, because I don't know. I know it happened. But how? If I knew how, I'd be as great as God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now notice, full of grace and truth. Maybe you don't probably grasp the significance of that word, grace and truth. These are two words that are found happily married in the Word of God. Old Testament as much as in the New. In fact, more in the Old than the New. Chesed ve'emet really means grace. And always grace comes before truth. The truth would send us to hell, but grace saves us. But in Psalm 85, we find their marriage, mercy or grace and truth met together, righteousness and peace kissed each other. All right. So you see, grace and truth, that's what He is. But I'm so glad He came first with grace, and then He said, I am the truth. Then notice his own express claims to deity. Now, I've heard critics say Jesus never claimed to be God. Is that so? In John 8:24, our Lord said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, a terrible statement, they did. For if ye believe not that I am He, and the word He is certainly not only superfluous, but disastrously damaging. In the Greek text, it isn't there. He said, for if you believe not that I am, where do we first find that I am? Can you tell me? Do you remember? Beg your pardon? Right, about what chapter? Around the third chapter, isn't it? And Moses said to the God of his fathers who was talking to him, when I go to Israel, they asked me, because they were in Egypt, remember. Egypt had more gods than days in the year. You know, everything, they had a god for everything. They had god for toothache. I don't know if they had any god for the relief of it, but they had everything. They had all kinds of names, Ra, Amun, Ra, Toth, and you go through, it's just full of them. And who shall I say sent me? He said, say, Ehayeh Asher Ehayeh, I am that I am. So our Lord said, unless you believe that I am. And let me tell you again, my dear ones, you who claim to be followers of Messiah Yeshua, you may carry a juice for Jesus on your shirt, and you may have all the trimmings. Unless you believe of your Messiah that He is I am, forget it. You've got nothing to stand. He claimed it. Well, that's the major objections. And then He said also to Philip in John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip said, show us the Father, Lord, and that suffices us. You know, Philip voiced my own childhood desires. I've always said and still do, a desire to see the one who created me. And one day I shall see him. I know it, because our Lord said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now you go ahead and toss it around any way you like. I'm going to stand pat just on what the Lord said. Amen. Just like that. All right, then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And the Lord said, have I been such a long time with you, and you have not yet known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen what? Oh. All right. Is that a claim to deity? All right. You see, now you could say the Lord Jesus never claimed deity. How about in John 10:30? I and the Father are what? One. Yeah. Oh, I could go on giving you texts. He also claimed in John 11:25 to be the resurrection and the life. Not only that he can cause resurrection, that's good enough. That's good in itself. But he not only can effect resurrection, well, which in itself is tremendous power, but I am the resurrection. And who but Jehovah Elohim could make a statement like that? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he'll live. That's a wonderful promise. And that's enough to make an Anglican shout, honestly. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me, that's at the time when he comes. And I'm looking for the uppertaker rather than the undertaker. I have never been led to date to buy a cemetery plot. And so on, of course, I have no guarantee that I won't die physically, but neither have I a guarantee that I'm going to. But I praise God for that. Only God can make a statement like that. You see, his claims. Then notice his emphatic assertion to messiahship. Some of them, critics say, he never claimed to be the Messiah, didn't he? You remember talking to the Samaritan woman, John 4, 25 and 26. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. Now remember that our Lord was first called Messiah before he was called Christ, so messianic is the original word. Don't be ashamed of that, and don't apologize for it either. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I'm sure of that. Notice verse 26. What did the Lord say? He says, I that speak to thee am he. Can you make language any plainer than that? Impossible. Well, it's one of the, that's why there's the objection to the Gospel of John, because nowhere in the Gospels does the Lord Jesus come out, or the gospelier here in that case, to explain and to give us with such clarity and emphasis and finality our Lord's claims, messiahship, deity. Well, I can go on. Then notice, he also claims to be the expressive declaration of being the only agent of salvation. By this I mean there's no other way. You know, people say, well, as long as you're sincere, you're all right. Is that so? Any druggist around here? Supposing you give somebody pills of bichloride of mercury and instead of aspirin, they look alike, they tell me. Of course, I don't keep any such poison around in my house. But the person is very sincere, what happens? Isn't that person sincerely dead? And people say, well, there are many ways you can take. They say all roads lead to Rome. Well, maybe so. But beloved, when we're heading for eternity, we're not heading for Rome, isn't that it? We're heading for heaven. There's only one way. And the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, plainly declared it, and those around him were all Jews. There wasn't a single Gentile close by when he said it boldly, clearly, definitely, emphatically, unmistakably, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he adds the negative side, which makes it very positive. No one. The word, what does the word no one mean, dear ones? What does it mean?
Nobody.
You see, that's right. No one is the superlative degree. Whenever the word of God, Old or New Testament, deals with salvation, or anything related thereto or derived therefrom, it is always in the superlative degree. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does all mean?
All.
Nobody exempted. See? By him, all who believe, we're told in Acts, are justified from how many things? All things. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Superlative degree. No one. I don't care how much one of my dear brethren, an Orthodox Jew, is Orthodox with his tefillin and tzitzit and whatnot, peyot and beard. That's not enough. That won't take him to heaven. Good works won't. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And that grates and causes objection not only in the heart of a Jew. And don't blame your people, my people, for having a monopoly in unbelief. They don't. The Gentiles are just as bad.